Welcome back. You're listening to Squeezebox Stories, a musical and social history of the accordion. I'm Marco Werman. So far, we've heard about the accordion in Europe and the United States, but the accordion's reach goes well beyond the Western world. China is now the largest manufacturer of accordions in the world, and in Africa, you can hear the accordion in places like Madagascar and Zanzibar, where European missionaries and colonialists brought the instruments in the late 19th century. The accordion is also huge in the Middle East. It's become an essential part of Arabic music in countries like Egypt, Syria, and Lebanon. But to play Arabic music on the accordion, the instrument must first be physically altered. That's because the accordion's reeds were designed for Western music that has 12 notes or pitches in an octave. Arabic music, on the other hand, has 24 pitches in an octave. Let's hear what the difference sounds like. Here's a Western scale. And here's an Arabic scale. Hear the difference? Let's go back and listen to the first three notes. Western. Arabic. That third note in the Arabic scale doesn't exist on the Western keyboard. It's right between a white key and a black key. What's happening is that Arabic music splits the step between the black and white keys in half. That's why there are twice as many notes in an Arabic octave. They call these in-between notes quarter tones. The result is a music with dozens of scales, or maqams, as they're called in Arabic, capable of a wide range of emotional expression. California has the largest number of Arab Americans in the United States. On our next stop, producer Marie Abe tracked down one of the few Arabic accordion players in California, a man who not only performs for the Arab community, but also reaches out to a wider audience, building a new kind of accordion community in the process.
3, 4. Okay. I want to feel it, the same breath.
Elias Lamam stands in the middle of a makeshift music studio. His dark hair is swept back from his forehead, and his eyes shine with intensity. He claps his hands and sings to a circle of students. All of them are playing accordions of various shapes and sizes. There is no sheet music. This is a beginner class for the Arabic accordion. The students, all adults, struggle with buttons, keys, and bellows. They follow Lamam in a form of call and response. He sings, and they reply. Lamam is one of a handful of professional Arabic accordionists living in the United States. And many Arabic music experts agree that he's one of the best in the country. He's bringing a deep knowledge about his music to his students, none of whom are Arab.
How do you get that balance, though, between paying attention to where everybody else is so that you can blend in with them?
You have to feel the music, the line you're playing. You know, sometimes you cannot explain things you feel, and that's music.
So are you going to make my dream become true? Okay. Okay. 3, 4.
إِنَّمَا النَّاسُ سُطُورٌ كُتِبَتْ لَكِنْ بِمَا
my dream happening. Very good.
Lamam came to California from his native Lebanon 10 years ago. He has an intimate and emotional relationship with the accordion.
I consider myself a shy person. So the accordion, I felt that's the only instrument you hug. Basically, it's hiding behind the accordion, and the accordion do the talk. You know what I mean? So when you hug the accordion, it becomes part of your body. So when I carry my accordion, all my shyness goes away. I feel like I'm a totally different person. I feel like, you know, I'm strong. I could talk. I could say whatever I want to say during my instrument.
His older brother George was originally meant to be the family accordionist. As a young child, the mom often sat in on his brother's accordion lessons.
I was in love with that instrument the moment, you know, he started playing. You know, we think as a musician that we pick the instrument, but the truth is that the instruments pick us.
One afternoon, the music teacher told George to take a 5-minute break. The two left Elias alone in the room with the accordion, which he picked up and started to play. The teacher heard his talent right away. The mom went on to study Arabic accordion for 13 years before he came to the United States. For him, the accordion isn't just an accessible people's instrument, but a prestigious classical instrument.
I hate squeezing box word. It's not. We spend our life studying that instrument and then zero IQ come tell you, you know, this is a squeeze box. This instrument takes lifetime practicing, and then you find somebody saying that, you know what, your instrument is a squeeze instrument. Okay, put some lemon inside and have some lemon juice.
No matter what you call it, the accordion is a recent arrival to the Middle East. It was first introduced in the 1930s during a tango craze that swept through the region. The sound of the accordion was the sound of Europe in the Middle East. Egyptian composers quickly started integrating the accordion into their music, giving rise to a new sound in both popular and classical Arabic music. It's big in Egyptian belly dancing music. And it's a major part in classical Arabic songs.
The Arabic tunes are amazing. It's something magical.
That magic lies in a more complex system of pitches and scales than we use in Western music. Remember quarter tones? Those pitches that occur between the black and white keys on the piano keyboard? These notes are what make up the many variations of scales that make Arabic music so expressive.
For example, I'm going to play a scale, we called it the saddest. It's very sad. You feel like sad when you hear that scale. We called it Saba in Arabic. You can feel somebody's in pain, you know what I mean? And it ends like,
That's what a quarter tone can do. But Western accordions aren't built to produce those sounds. In order to play their own music, Arabic accordion players have to change the guts of the instruments themselves.
When we tune the accordion, it's like you're doing a surgery. You have to open the accordion, go inside the accordion to the reeds. And here it comes the tricky part in the, and makes it the Arabic accordion really, really hard to play on because we don't have enough keys.
The piano keys that are used to play the instrument are still designed for Western music. So to compensate, players not only retune the reeds, they also have to be very subtle and precise about how they use the bellows. For Western music, a key on the piano accordion will play the same note whether you push the bellows in or out. In Arabic music, however, some keys will play one note when you're pushing the bellows in, and then another note when you're pulling the bellows out.
Pulling in, pulling out. See that? There is no chance to do a mistake. You'll be totally in different scale.
La Mam is a technical master. Every bellow move, every touch, every reed matters. In fact, the Arabic accordion requires technical mastery. It's the key to unlocking the poetry of the Arabic scales. Today, the accordion is an essential ingredient in many forms of Arabic music. And the person who really popularized the accordion in Arabic music is the legendary Lebanese singer, Fairuz. Fairuz's late husband, Asi Rahbani, wrote songs for her that featured that retuned Arabic accordion, spreading that sound all over the Middle East. His compositions brought together many modern and traditional musical styles into what has become a pan-Arab phenomenon.
You can hear Fairuz any time of day. Morning, lunch, you know. Let's say 95% of the Lebanese, if he's driving, there's Fairuz in the car. If he's in the coffee shop, there is Fairuz singing there. Everybody starts his day with Fairuz singing.
And it's the Fairuz pieces that Lamam uses to help his students grapple with the emotional and technical complexity of the music.
All right, so let's go to Habbaytak Bissayf. Habbaytak means Saif, Bissayf, that's also a Fairuz piece. Means Habbaytak Bissayf, I love you in summer, I love you in winter. So season doesn't make me change. All right. Yes, from the tippy top.
Thanks to Marie Abe for introducing us to Elias Lamam and his music. You're listening to Squeezebox Stories. I'm Marco Werman. On this journey, we've heard just how adaptable the accordion is and how quickly it's become central to all kinds of musical genres and traditions. We've explored some of the practical reasons behind the accordion's wide reach across cultures and borders and continents. And above all, we've seen how the accordion truly is an immigrant's instrument, a vehicle for giving people a voice in a new land. George Lipsitz, professor of sociology at the University of California, Santa Barbara.
Witnesses have to speak. Testimony has to be heard. People can't remain totally silent. But they often don't have citizenship. They don't have the English language. They don't have the ability to write. They work with the tools that are open to them in the arenas that they can access. And so an instrument like the accordion, which is an incredible repository of memory, and it's an incredible storehouse of many different emotions and many different ways of thinking about the world, is a logical form to express those contradictions of immigrant life.
In many parts of the United States, when you scan the radio, you're very likely going to hear something like this. This is Norteño music, and it's a big part of mainstream Mexican culture in the United States. Flashy button accordions are always a centerpiece, and it's what many people from Mexico listen to. The face of Mexican immigration is changing, however, and the music is changing along with it. The latest wave of immigrant farm workers in California are indigenous people from the southern Mexican state of Oaxaca. Many of this most recent wave of immigrants don't even speak Spanish as their first language. Producers Julie Kane and Marie Abe went to California's Central Valley in search of a new kind of accordion music.
Escuchen mi acordeón. Ahora, al ritmo de chilena.
Hi, I am Carlos Mendoza. I live in Madera, California, Central Valley. I come from Oaxaca, Mexico, and I play accordion.
Like many Oaxacan people, Mendoza has been migrating in search of work most of his life, first within Mexico and later in the United States. He came to California about 15 years ago to work in the fields. Now in his 50s, Mendoza is short and stout, with a broad smile and an easy laugh.
Soy músico yo por convicción.
I am a musician by conviction.
Desgraciadamente no fuimos a la escuela porque éramos muy pobres en México.
Unfortunately, we didn't go to school because we were really poor in Mexico.
Si hubiera ido a la escuela, hubiera elegido una carrera de músico.
If I had gone to school, I would have studied music.
Si no hubiera ido a la escuela, tomo la inquietud de saber qué es.
I didn't go to school for it, but I had this desire inside me to know what music was.
Es algo que se trae dentro de uno.
It's something that a person just carries inside himself.
Mendoza lives in the small town of Madera, California, in a house he shares with his wife and seven children. In the garage, right next to the washer and dryer, Mendoza has built a music studio. It's like a sanctuary where he records music, produces CDs for all kinds of Mexican bands, and gives music lessons. Musical instruments are everywhere. There are guitars, a bajo sexto, a saxophone, a bass, a drum kit. Mendoza knows how to play them all. But his prized possessions are two ornate, rhinestone-encrusted Gabinelli button accordions.
These are my moneymakers.
One is white and the other is red with blue and green bellows. Mendoza picks up the white one and straps it onto his body.
This one is La Tortuguita. It was the first one I ever learned.
La Tortuguita, or the Little Turtle, is a style of music called the Chilena. Chilena music is itself a traveling music, an immigrant's music. The story goes that it came to the coast of Oaxaca with Peruvian and Chilean sailors who stopped there on their way to seek their fortunes in the California Gold Rush. The indigenous people who met them there picked up the beat and mixed it with their own traditional music and dance. They named the new genre Chilena after the Chilean sailors who brought it. But the music has a very Oaxacan sound.
En Oaxaca tenemos muchas regiones. Somos muchas regiones.
In Oaxaca, we have many regions.
Pero una cosa nos une a todos los oaxaqueños, es que todos tenemos...
But there is one thing that unites all Oaxacans.
Todos nos identificamos por ese tipo de música.
We all identify ourselves with this kind of music.
The Chilena is now a mainstay of Oaxacan musical culture. Traditionally, it's played on string or brass instruments, but never on the accordion. It
was unthinkable that the accordion could be part of our music.
El acordeón es un símbolo de música norteña.
Because the accordion is a symbol of norteño music.
Cuando yo tenía 20 años y quería tocar este tipo de música en mi tierra.
When I was 20, I wanted to play this kind of music where I'm from.
Así me corrían a patadas.
They almost kicked me out of the town.
You might have to be Oaxacan or at least Mexican to understand why this is such a big deal. Like Native Americans in this country, indigenous Oaxacans have long been the object of discrimination in Mexico, and the discrimination travels with them. Their small stature and dark skin set them apart from other Mexicans. Language is another factor. More than 17 distinct dialects like Mixteco and Zapoteco are spoken in indigenous communities in Oaxaca and next door in the state of Guerrero. The accordion was a foreign instrument to Oaxacan musical culture until very recently. And what's more, inside Mexico there are strong regional rivalries, so mixing the music of the South with an instrument of the North would have been unheard of. Sort of like putting ketchup on a sushi roll. But migration to the United States has changed the rules of the game. As Oaxacans have pushed northward looking for work, they've carried their beloved Chilena music along with them. And as they've passed through the accordion-dominated border region, they've picked up a new instrument. That instrument, the accordion, is one of the biggest symbols of Mexican identity in the United States.
Muy buenos días, paisanos, paisanas, buenos días.
My name is Filemón López. I come from the San Juan Mixtepec. Oaxaca.
Filemon Lopez is the host of a radio show called La Hora Mixteca, or the Mixteca Hour.
Hora Mixteca. En este programa, los paisanos radicados en el norte.
It's a weekly radio program on Radio Bilingüe that's a mix of talk show, music program, and a message service for friends and family separated by the border. Many of Oaxaca's native languages and musical styles can be heard on his program. His radio show broadcasts all over the United States and Mexico.
La música es como un reflector.
Music is like a cultural reflector. I would say that music is part of us. Music is culture. Music is remembrance. Music is joy. Music, the chilena, for example, is the music that our ancestors danced to. And we keep dancing it on this side of the border.
In fact, says Lopez, up until recently, traditional indigenous music had no outlet on the Mexican airwaves. He had to come to the United States to start broadcasting his native music back to the state of Oaxaca.
It was prohibited to speak indigenous languages on Mexican commercial radio.
The ability to express this cultural pride is a big part of what playing the chilena is all about. Carlos Mendoza.
Look at my face. I still have my indigenous features because my people didn't let themselves be dominated by Spaniards.
Para que yo naciera güero de ojos azules.
That's why I wasn't born a white man with blue eyes.
Mi raza no se dejó. Mi raza peleó.
My people didn't allow them to do it. My people fought.
Mendoza just finished producing a CD for a local Oaxacan band called Los Yukinos. They're young men, field workers by day, musicians by night. Like most bands, Los Yukinos want to make it big. So they play a mix of Mexican popular music, norteños and rancheras and corridos. But they also play chilenas on accordion and sometimes even sing in Mixteco. Tonight, Los Yukinos are playing at a club in Fresno, and Mendoza has arranged for us to meet them before their gig. At the club where they're playing, a sweet-faced young man in a black cowboy hat, sparkling white cowboy boots, and a tailored Western jacket gets out of a black SUV, smiling broadly at us. He's the accordion player.
Yeah, my name is Patricio Vasquez, and I play the accordion in the grupo Los Yukinos, and we're in Fresno, California. We're right here and playing the Mexican music. It's norteño y un poco de chilenas.
Inside the club, a big dance floor is surrounded by shiny mirrors, red lights, and the reflections of a spinning disco ball. It's Saturday night, and people are here to dance. The women wear high heels and short skirts. Almost all the men wear pristine cowboy hats, perfect jeans, and dressy cowboy boots with very pointy toes. On the stage, Los Yukinos play a chilena, and Patricio Vasquez sings in Mixteco. The accordion is front and center, its red and green bellows expanding and contracting rapidly, rhinestones glittering under the flashing lights. But this is not a Oaxacan crowd. Perhaps not familiar with the Mixtec language and chilena music, the crowd stays seated and silent for the song. It's not until Los Yukinos switch to a norteño set that couples get up to dance. Hands on waist, cowboy boots tapping, high heels twirling, they dance in a jumpy two-step. In this club, we're seeing a real straddling of cultures and identities. To appeal to a mainstream audience, Los Yukinos have adopted the instruments and musical styles of the dominant Mexican culture. But they've also brought their own traditional language and rhythms onto the stage with them. And they're doing all of this in the context of a new country, the United States.
Thanks to Julie Kane for taking us on that accordion journey from Mexico to California's Central Valley. Here's George Lipsitz.
Accordion's a great instrument. It's a great musical instrument. It's a great social instrument. but you can only play what comes out of your life, what has makes meaning for you. It's not the instrument that is doing the work, it's the culture that flows through this instrument. So, you know, the accordion is not the end, it's the means, it's not the objective, it's the vehicle, but it's an amazing vehicle.
And through this amazing vehicle, we've heard old memories and new expressions that have emerged as people moved across the world with the accordion. In the sound of the squeeze box, we can hear distant places, hidden histories, and unexpected encounters that span generations, languages, and musical styles. We're about to bring our show to a close, but the squeeze box stories don't have to end with this hour. We know there are a lot of stories still out there. Perhaps there's a dusty accordion hiding in your basement, or maybe there's a new accordion revolution happening in your neighborhood as we speak. Whatever the story, we'd love to hear about it. You can share your story, replay this hour, and learn more about the accordion at squeezeboxstories.com. Squeezebox Stories was produced by Julie Kane and Marie Abe. The editor was Loretta Williams. The mix engineer was Robin Wise of Sound Imagery. Funding was provided by the California Council for the Humanities in partnership with the Skirball Foundation. Sponsorship was provided by the Arhuli Foundation, thanks also to Deborah George, George Lipsitz, Mark DeWitt, Scott Marcus, Josh Kuhn, Alejandro Madrid, and all the great accordion players and enthusiasts who helped make this project possible. I'm Marco Werman. Thanks for listening to Squeezebox Stories, a musical and social history of the accordion.